world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies primarily on covet moves for expanding its sphere of influence. It is a system which has conscripted vast human and material resources into the building of a tightly knit, highly efficient machine that combines military, diplomatic, intelligence, economic, scientific, and political operations. These preparations are concealed, not publicized. The stakes are buried, not headlined. Its percentages are silent, not praised.
Billions of people just living out their lives, oblivious. Choice is an illusion created between those with power and those without.
I drink your milkshake. I drink enough.
Thank you, John Larson. I receive your kind words on behalf of all of our courageous members of the House of Representatives who want the best for the American people. And what we can do that is best for them in the next 24 hours is to pass affordable, accessible health care for all Americans. The best for all Americans is to have 32 million more people to have health insurance in our country.
Oh,
the best for...
Piece of stinking filth.
Shh, stay in shop. This is AJ of InfoWars. Listen to the Shaliak. This is Alex Jones of InfoWars. Listen to Shaliak on the Cold Reality News and Report.
This is the coolest thing I have ever seen.
Well, hello there.
Snowden movie out. Went to see it. Gonna talk about it. World War III essentially is underway. If you pay attention to RT.com and the news in the Western world, this is happening. We are on the verge of an all-out war that has pretty much already started, but there's different gears, different gears, the gears of war. Hillary, Trump, still playing their part, playing their roles in this farce of an election, while the commoners sit back and think that they actually have something to do with the entire process. And they do, but it's not the part that they wanted or think that they have. ISIS celebrates New York City dumpster bomb. They're here. Poltergeist. The dismantling of the American experiment is here. It is here. We're going to talk a little bit about that as well. Syria, Russia, U.S. tensions spill over. Venezuela, Cuba warn of U.S. intervention. Man stabs eight at Minnesota Mall. That and more on today's edition of Cold Reality Radio. Here on the UCY.TV Broadcasting Network, it is Sunday, September 18th. It's still humid as fuck. Probably going to be in the 80s today. It's 10:05 a.m. on the East Coast of Nightmarica in the Western world. And as I said, the American experiment that has been going on for many, many years is taking on another form. So we're going to try to get into that a little bit today. I'd like to thank Clint for sitting in for the last couple weeks. There's been a number of things going on. And it's always good to know that Clint is ready to kind of jump in there and host the program with all of his incredible research, all the due diligence that he and his guests, Patrick Jordan, all the research and due diligence that they have exacted and just exacting from their self, extracting from their own lives to get needed information to the masses about the deception that is our corporation, United States Corporation. And that's exactly what it is. And thanks to Clint, we're all more understanding of that information. All right, so big story, you know, on Drudge Report, or you know, some say Mossad, you know, but I like to say hello to all of the so-called agencies out there that are protecting, you know, the American people, the citizens, the denizens, the commoners, from the evil that exists in the world. I'd like to thank you for being out there to be able to listen to every phone call and every conversation, every text, every email, so that we in America can be safe, and that you know, other countries that wish to do us harm and other people that wish to do us harm, which are all part of the global corporation anyway, right? I want to thank you for being out there. And of course, that leads into the Snowden movie, Oliver Stone, Edward Snowden. When I started watching it, she was like, what's your name? And I thought he was going to say Eric for some reason. I don't even know why. Eric Snowden, Joseph Gordon-Levitt, seems to be the actor of choice in Hollywood these days. The actor of choice. He did a pretty good job. You know, he's obviously part of a network of actors that they pull from. Of course, he was Third Rock from the Sun with John Lithgow and Jane, you ignorant slut. So what I wanted to say was, you know, and we talk about this a lot, Clint and I, on the air, we talk about the families that that are basically part of you know, you could say bloodlines of the Illuminati. Do they know that they're bloodlines of the Illuminati families? And are they really Illuminati families, or is that just a, you know, something that they throw in there to make it seem all nice and, you know, it's like a movie, you know. It's a movie. Oh, the Illuminati, yeah. They're like this group of people that are evil and junk. These groups of people that are like evil and junk, and then they go around blowing up shit, and then they go into hiding, and then they come out of hiding, and then they blow up some shit, and then they go back, and then they drop a document, and then somebody finds it, and then they get exposed, and then they move from one country to another, and then just start fucking shit up in that country, man. You know. Oh, the Illuminatis. The Illuminatis. Coming to get you. Coming to get you, the Illuminatis. So, you know, and then we get filled with, you got Tom Hanks, which we know has ties to Abraham the Lincoln, you know. He freed the slaves. Abraham Lincoln freed the slaves. Don't you know that? And Obama's going to do the same. He's going to free the slaves, man. He's going to free the slaves, man. He's like Abraham Lincoln, man. Well, guess what? Abraham Lincoln wasn't Abraham Lincoln, or what we've been told about him. He was more concerned with keeping the Union together, which was the corporation, or those that wished to create a corporation. He was more concerned with keeping the corporation together, and he even said it. If I could free save the Union without freeing one slave, I would do it. But you never hear that, do you? You never hear that one, do you? You never do. You never hear it, because it would blow all the shit about slavery and most of the shit regarding the presidents, you know. The presidents that saved the country. It's President's Day, and we should be thankful for all the presidents. George Washington, first cousin to King Jackass over in on the other side of the pond, you know, that's never really brought up, that he had direct blood ties and links to the British Empire. Forget about all that. Forget about all that, man. We the people to form a more perfect union for our families and our bloodlines to dominate more land and make it look like we're not doing it. Kind of like when IBM and Microsoft, you know, or like IBM created Microsoft so that they can, you know, try to separate their monopolies. Know what I mean? So, it's all bullshit. America is a lie. Sorry. You're not going to hear any patriotic stuff coming out of this pie hole anymore, because, you know, I've grown, I've learned, and like many people have said, even in the chat room, Constitution has no bearing. Somebody said that. Even Knucklehead in there said it. I forget his name. Where's Knucklehead? Oh, there he is. Rode said, Constitution don't mean nothing. Fuck the Constitution. Now I know what he means. So, and we see that. We saw examples of that. in a number of cases. And, of course, Melonhead Jones was like, I said the Constitution's got nothing to do with the... That's outrageous. You can see what's happening to this country. I'm Alex Jones. I'm Alex Jones. You can see what's happening here. Which turns out that, you know, Alex Jones is probably part of the extended family, like Barack Obama. So then you would say that the Constitution kind of applies to them, because they are the people, we are not. Alex Jones is most likely the people. By blood, he spoke enough times about dropping little hints in there. But he's just creating a market, just like anything else. Somebody said, hey, you could do this, you could do that, America's blah, 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 you can do this, blah, 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 blah. And he might not even know, but, you know, it only makes sense to me that, you know, as smart as Jones comes off most of the time, and, you know, knowledgeable, because he is, you know, there is a level of credibility about someone that can reel off information like that. But at the same time, as he's making you that sandwich, as he's constructing that reality sandwich, you know, your phone rings and you look away. He slips a turd in there. And, well, then it just becomes a shit sandwich, doesn't it? Doesn't matter how good the ham is. Doesn't matter how good the cheese is. It's a shit sandwich. And the citizen denizen commoners have been eating that shit sandwich for a long time. Okay. It was always their goal to have their family and their family members running the show. Taking care of them, providing opportunities. And there's no doubt in my mind that whether Joseph Gordon-Levitt is part of the bloodline families, or if he's just a token, you know, he's just a token Jewish guy to be in the movies. I think he's definitely got, you know, more talent and abilities than Seth Rogen or Jonah Hill. So, but Snowden. So we go through this movie, and they break down his path to that day when he just so easily walked into the Hawaiian establishment where he and his wife, I don't know, did he ever marry her? I don't even know if he ever married the girl. But you never really hear that much about his family, his mother or his father, which is kind of a red flag to me. They mentioned it in the movie, but it's kind of a red flag to me. And so the day that he walks in there and just, you know, slips a chip in, he slips the chip into the computer, which was most likely a Dell computer, because Dell has, you know, ties to NSA and all these other corporations. Okay. And so he just slips it in there and starts copying all of this, you know, all this information. It's just sitting there on a computer with his security clearance. Now, wouldn't you think that when they have a facility like that, that most of these computers would be locked down? I mean, I deal with computers. I've never locked down a system to the point where a USB drive wouldn't read, you know, or, you know, transfer data to and from a USB port on the computer. My computer, right? So, in this facility where all this information is, all of it, And I just saw, what was it, Jason Bourne, the fifth one, the fifth installment of the Bourne series, the saga that is Bourne, the super soldier that joined the program because he thought that the Arabs blew his father's car up. It was an Arab that blew up my dad. So now I want to be part of the program that makes me a super soldier. I want to be a super soldier and then go fight the bad guys, right? 35 kills. You know, go see the movie if you want. Anybody see it? Anybody out there? Anybody out there? Anybody out there in the chat room? See Jason Bourne or Snowden or some call Broden. Hey, bro. Hey, Broden. Edward Broden. Anybody? Anybody? No? 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 I wanted to, you know, see it with as few distractions as possible. Caught the earliest flick on flick in town, you know? The earliest flick. So I wouldn't have freak shows running around me. Freak Show America. Maybe somebody brings their kid, their child or baby in. I want to see the Snowden movie and bring my triplets. You ever had that happen? What kind of fucking mental capacity does it take to fucking bring a baby into a movie theater? But what politically correct in America means that you can't turn anybody away and say, I'm sorry, you can't bring your baby in because your baby's a distraction. But then they make sure they tell you.
Yeah, don't, like, read your phone and junk and, like, it's a distraction, okay? So don't do that and whatnot.
And I can't wait till the fucking next time somebody brings a child in. I'm going right to that motherfucker who runs the movie theater and say, okay, yeah, my phone's a distraction if I turn it on or I take a call, which I would never do. But you're going to let a baby into the movie theater. See, that's how fucking bass-ackwards America is, right? Just an absolute fucking ridiculous fiasco. Anyway, so Snowden goes in, like we've been told, and he just slips the chip into the computer that recognizes it right away, SD, you know, little one of those little chippy chips, you know, smaller than a dime, thinner than a dime, thinner than a penny. We've seen them. We know. That's most likely why they were created. And then he just backs up everything. He just backs it all up. You know what I mean? And then he has a Rubik's Cube, you know? And so, you know, the Rubik's Cube has all the different colors, you know, snaps the chippy out, one of the, and then puts the little microchip in there, small enough to fit under one of the color snap-ons of the Rubik's Cube, and then proceeds to walk out. Little bit of suspense there for a while, but apparently there were people there that knew that what they were doing was absolutely wrong. So maybe that just plays in. I don't even know. But he gets out, and then what happened, you know, they chronicle what happened after he departed. And so you just have to wonder to yourself, and other people have questioned this, like, what is the likelihood that he would have been able to do that? You know, he was a super genius. He had everything. you know, they were giving him jobs. They were saying, hey, you know, you can do this. It's going to be this. It's going to be that. And that this is really the first time that we heard anything about Eric Snowden. I'm sorry. Edward Broden. Broden. First time we ever heard anything about him having epilepsy. First time I've ever heard anything about Eddie the Snowman having epilepsy. And it's quite interesting to know that he was diagnosed with epilepsy and then but you didn't hear that on any of the Western media outlets, the lying, controlled Western media outlets. Nothing about Edward Snowden. I want to say Eric every time. I don't even know why. But I still struggle with, I'm struggling with that. I'm struggling with him being able to do that. You know, he's a patriot. He's this. He's that. Struggling to understand why somebody would give up all of that. And then I think that if he did this, or if the system created him, and you could say, yes, of course they created him. He worked there, and he didn't like what was going on, and so he did what he did. Or he is a psyop, a total psyop, to make people understand that if you fuck with us, you will be hanging out in Russia for the rest of your life. Which my understanding is that his lady, went out there to hang out with him and live with him in Russia, in the vodka capital of the world, with Vladimir. Now I say I believe, you know, when I report that. You know, that it looks like, you know, we are going, we're already at war, and it's going to go into another gear, but who's controlling Vladimir Putin? Who's controlling all of these? Who's controlling China? Who's doing all of this? And I just have a struggle with believing that there is a separation between agenda. I struggle with that. I do not believe that Vladimir Putin is on opposite, the opposite pages of butt crack Obama, Barry Dunham of the Dunham clan. The Dunham clan tied to the forefathers or the people. And of course, if you go to the dunhamhouse.com, you'll see Obama, and then there's a presidential genealogy. You'll click on that, and they show you the path from George Washington to Barack Obama. 22nd cousins, something like that, I believe. Or maybe somewhere in the teens, but blood ties for show. And so yeah, I struggle. I struggle with that this is, you know, with war coming out, with the that they're on the same page, or, you know, I believe that it's all part of a blueprint. Russia Today yesterday said, okay, all right, I'm going to play that. I have to plug this in, for God's sake.
Where is that? There it is.
Said yesterday in a report that the U.S. was protecting ISIS. That the U.S. was protecting ISIS because they bombed NATO and all these, flattering titled organizations, bombed Syrian troops, killing many of them. Jack is out front. He's been having issues not being able to hold his pisser till he gets outside. So we don't know what's going on with that. But hold on a second. Let's go ahead and play this. Let's play Anderson Cooperman.
More now, my exclusive interview with reporter Glenn Greenwald and his spouse David Miranda, who was detained in question for nearly 9 hours under Britain's anti-terrorism laws. Greenwald claims the real purpose was to intimidate him and other journalists, also in light of his stories on the National Security Agency, to retaliate. The question is, was the United States involved? Here's what Deputy Press Secretary Josh Earnest said when asked that question.
There was a heads up that was provided by the British government. So this, again, this is something that we had an indication was likely to occur, but it's not something that we requested, and it's something that was done specifically by the British law enforcement officials there.
So officially, a heads up from Britain, but not a request from America. I asked Glenn Greenwald whether he buys that. Here's what he told me.
I don't have evidence that the U.S. government ordered it, but I'm very disturbed that my own government was aware of this foreign country's intent to detain my partner and did nothing to discourage it or to protect the right of free press guaranteed in the First Amendment of the Constitution, or did anything else to protect the rights that we both have as human beings and that I have as an American and as a journalist. So,
again, it doesn't apply to you, Glenn. The Constitution, you have none of these. It's a fiction. Please continue.
Whether the idea originated with the UK or with the US, clearly the US government was perfectly happy to see this happen.
And David, when you stepped off the plane finally, when you got back to Brazil, what was that like? What was the feeling?
I was a relief. I mean, I was in my country. I knew I was going to be protecting him because I was in my country, and I know that people here would be caring about what the situation, and I was going to see my husband, and we'll be together, and I know he was going to take care of this whole situation.
Glenn, I saw a quote from you saying that you would be, quote, more aggressive, not less, in reporting on England. Some headlines seem to indicate you were going to be acting out of revenge. Is that accurate?
It's completely inaccurate, Anderson. I was asked whether or not the detention of David would deter my reporting and what I thought the outcome would be for the UK government. And what I said was that if they think they're going to deter me in any way from this threatening behavior, they're deluded. It's going to have the opposite effect on me. It's going to embolden me. And the reason it's going to embolden me...
Anyway, that was post the revelations which involved Verizon, and that... the United States corporation government was spying on everybody, which they've been doing for years anyway. So this is just, you know, when you see these things, and as I said with the movie, I'm still not buying that Edward Snowden is and was involved in this organic fucking just expose of what is going on and has been going on. You mean him sitting there in the movie Gordon Levitt, and seeing for the first time when he was in Geneva this the world's most powerful search engine, where it said attack and then the president's last name. Of course, this was when not in the Obama administration, the Obama administration, or Barry, the Dunham administration. He saw that you could just type it in and then boom, and just get millions and millions of hits from one talk. They talked about Prism, which was one of the, you know, the revelations, and then of course the Snowman made his own program. I guess this was before he realized that all of this technology was being used to, you know, blow people up, but with drones and all that other stuff. And we heard Clint talk about that when he sat there when he was working on the West Coast, and he said, I was listening to an interview of a drone pilot, and and then it just kind of soured him soured him to his core, that they were just killing people randomly and doing that. And so this program that Snowden created, that he thought was going to be helpful in protecting us from external, you know, enemies and things, the ne'er-do-well, nefarious, bad guys, the boogermans, he found out that they were using his program. Later, they modified it to be able to do incredibly awful things all over the world. And apparently, he just couldn't stomach that anymore. So then he went into one of the most secure infrastructures and walked out with incredibly sensitive, high-level documents. I don't know. I just don't believe it. I don't believe. I mean, if it's true, then, you know, cool. Somebody had to do it. If it was him, it was him. But I just don't get it. I don't believe. I do not believe fully that, you know, he is what the media says he is. Everything that we see on that lie vision is just bullshit. It's all social engineering. It's all meant to disform, not inform, to deform, deformation. That's what the mainstream media is. It's deformed information. Deformation. Not in deform. It's deforming you. And of course, to some, it's the entrainment through entertainment. It's so many things, man. You know me. So of course, as I said, they're making him out to be this guy that is this, you know, Pat Riot guy, the Patriot, which, you know, doesn't mean what we think it means. It's most likely a deception, causing that very, very important chilling effect for anyone that has any plans to do any of that kind of stuff. But just the whole technology thing where he can go in there, pull that information out of the system there. Unless you want to say that that they were set to not be able to copy things, and they were not allowed to have any of that information in there. They were not allowed to have any thumb drives, anything like that. The front of the facility had one of the naked body scanners, and so as he's walking out, he knows the guys. He flips the Rubik's Cube to the guy. The cube never goes through the scanner, only Snowden. And then he gets it on the other side of the device. Wouldn't they make him put everything through there? I mean, that's just, come on. I don't know, man. Anything that you take in or out of there would be scanned. Anything you take in or out of there would be scanned. I that's why I'm just not buying it, man. I'm just not buying it. I'm not buying it, man. I'm not. Something just does not add up. Something does not add up about Edward Snowden. And deception is key. Syria is serious. RT has also been reporting that all of the ceasefires that have been put in place have been completely and totally destroyed by the U.S. Completely and totally destroyed by the U.S. or U.S.-led whatevers. But that you really have to look at these sides and say, what you know, is RT credible? There is a lot of information in there. They do go after Israel for a lot of the things that they do that never ever gets reported in, you know, Western media. So you have to say, or is that just a setup, lead up to, you know, World War III? Is it a setup, lead up to that conflict? And unbelievable that that U.S. strike on Syrian army was a mistake, former MI5 agent. Let's see what she has to say here.
John, former MI5 agent, trying to get some more insight into what's been going on in Syria over the last few hours. Annie, thanks for joining us. I don't know if you heard the report there by our correspondent Paula. I've got the full Central Command statement here, just picking out a couple of key points here. They said that the coalition forces believe they were striking a Daesh and ISIL fighting position they've been tracking for some time. The coalition airstrike was halted immediately, as Paula said, when coalition officials were told by the Russians that the Syrian army units were possibly in the area. They're saying it's not uncommon, actually, for the coalition center to confer with Russian officials as a professional courtesy, although such contact is not required. There's been a lot of talk recently, hasn't there, about cooperation between Russians and the Russian-American forces in Syria to prevent such incidents happening. Do you think this potentially, firstly, could be a step forward, perhaps act as a springboard to increase levels of cooperation after such a tragic incident? And secondly, what impact could this have on the wider truce in Syria, which has already been in a fragile state over the last few days?
Well, one would hope that this would increase the cooperation. Russia obviously has a greater human intelligence on the ground because it's cooperating, it's working with the Syrian authorities. So they have access to proper human intelligence, which is much better than what the Americans tend to use, which is, you know, satellite surveillance and electronic surveillance. So one would hope that this would increase their cooperation. I mean, this is a very fragile time. It's the week of a trial truce. If this truce holds, then they will both cooperate more closely to go after ISIS. Having said that, I find...
Which really kind of explains why all this is happening, because there's no turning back. There's no turning back. It's, we'll say this and make it look like this, and we're actually going to not, just like all of the so-called Palestine, Israel, peace talks, things like that, they've always been hijacked by Israel, because there is no peace. There can never, ever be peace. It will never happen, because the goal is to eradicate and kill.
Slightly unbelievable that the Americans could hit this target, thinking it was ISIS, when in fact ISIS is laying siege to the city, and the Syrian forces for years now have been known to be holed up in that city. So it seems rather strange that the Americans are just saying it's a bit of a mistake.
So there you have that from, you know, whatever that means, from Annie McCann Mashin, former officer for MI5. Seems kind of unbelievable. Okay. Here goes the snowman. Why a U.S. presidential pardon for Snow... Eric Snowden. What the fuck? For Snowden is not such a crazy idea after all. Let's see. What's he got to say? Come on now, buddy. Come on now, buddy. Why is this not playing? Why am I not hearing him? I'm not hearing him. It's just a GIF. Jeez Louise. It's just a bloody GIF. That's all. Via Giphy. It's a GIF. Giphy. Giphy von Giffen. Snowden on U.S. pardon. Congress. President courts change policies, but no individuals hurt. Yeah, there's nothing much here. When was the last time that the snowman actually said anything? I don't recall. I have no memory of anything at all. Mm-mm-mm. So, you know, you hear all kinds of different things about Merkel, and you find out that, or at least they're saying that she's, you know, that she's fighting back against some of the things that are going on, that they're forcing her into doing as far as the refugees and things like that. So, I don't know. I think that before the end of the year, something very, very substantial is going to happen. Something very, very, very significant is going to happen. Let's see. See, the world just can't be this amount of chaos, this amount of absolute destructive behavior is not part of, it's just not part of people's, or at least most of the people that inhabit this planet. Everything we see here, everything that we've seen over the years, has been an absolute effort by everyone that you see, every so-called leader, destroying and killing and murdering and pillaging and just absolutely decimating the world. Every fucking bit of it. Every fucking bit of it. And as I've said before many times, America is a lie. America is, unfortunately, along with Israel and Great Britain or the UK or whatever, behind what we're seeing that's going on throughout, you know, fucking forever. These people that just cannot have peace, do not want peace. They want to dominate everything, every resource, everything of any importance they want, and they are and have the means to get all of this. And that means Assyria is going to be decimated, and there will be the Third World War, and we will continue to have events like what happened in New York City last night and in New Jersey, okay? And they're going to say, you know, I mean, there's enough information out there to show these things that are happening that are part of an agenda. And it's not the agenda that you think. It's not this, you know, if you listen to the mainstream media, you will not fucking know anything at all. You will know nothing except what they want you to know. And if you take that as scripture or any form of fucking knowledge or intelligence, you're fucking lost. Of course, Hillary talking this morning about it, and she's like a fucking zombie. Something seriously fucking wrong with that woman. I mean, other than the obvious, that she's a fucking got a bloodlust. And then, of course, you've got, you know, Drudge supposed to be the cutting edge of news. And what do we have here? We have NFL players love getting high before kickoff. Cannabis, the new California gold rush. In North Dakota, hints of oil industry comeback. Big-headed babies are the brightest. World-famous exorcist
dead.
Is that Max von Sydow?
Nah.
Performed over 70,000 exorcisms. Okay, didn't see this. Snowden says disclosures bolstered individual privacy. Okay. Well, he has to say that what he did had some effect, what he was hoping or what they were hoping. I just don't know. I want to believe that the snowman is, that is legit, but I want to believe. I do. I want to believe. I just can't. I can't believe it. I just can't believe it. I don't know. I'm torn between wanting to believe in the snowman and understanding. It's tough to when you've realized that nearly everything is a deception, and then you look at the whole Chelsea Manning thing. It's like that guy had serious issues going on. Serious issues. Like, he's a woman now. Why in the fuck would anyone that was undergoing those levels of challenges in their life, why would they do that, why would they put it all on the line, now 30 plus years in prison, and then a sex change transformation. I'm just blown away. I really truly am blown away by these things that we see on a daily basis. The people that are, everybody's like, oh, Chelsea Manning or Bradley Manning, whatever his name was. I don't know. I'm really kind of blown away by the whole, we're constantly being set up, we're constantly being set up. And I don't get the whole scene. One moment. Little sneeze break there. In Philadelphia, we have gunman ambush on Philly cop leads to deadly shootout. And geologist claims that they have found that Christ's tomb. Naked man breaks in home, bites the resident, and then dies. Just wild, wacky stuff. Let's see what's going on over at Blacklisted News. The State Department and establishment media silent on Israel's 200 nukes. Not only has the State Department ignored Colin Powell's revelation Israel has 200 nukes, so has the establishment media. After DC leak posted a trove of Powell's emails hacked from the former Secretary of State's personal Gmail account. RT's Caleb Maupin asked the State Department for comment on Powell's mention of Israel's nukes. He was ignored. Meanwhile, the story has been virtually ignored by the media. The Sun in Britain reported on it, as did the Times of Israel and Haaretz in Israel. The New York Times and the Washington Post have remained silent. Second story there. Flesh-eating synthetic bacteria has gone wild. That's not nice. That's not fun at all. And I'm going to bring Clint into the conversation for the last hour here, Cold Reality Radio, here on the UCY.TV Broadcasting Network, Sunday, September 18th. It's, as I said, 11 a.m. on the east coast of Nightmarica. And looks like it's still trying to connect there. The NSA's probably.
We don't want him to talk to Clint today. Let's try to interfere with the transmission.
The reports... there goes ignore. The reports about tests on human beings that are being routinely carried out by certain Western corporations have become a sort of trend these days. Clint, welcome. Welcome to the program.
What's up, man?
Oh, you know, just the same old stuff. Going through some stories here. Went to see the Snowden movie yesterday to see, you know, what you know, Hollywood, or can we consider Oliver Stone Hollywood, or like what is he? Because he on Showtime, he had a series of stories that spoke about, you know, the real history of America. You know, who is Oliver Stone? We know he went to, we know that he put the W movie out, among other ones. And he apparently he went to school with George W. Bush at Yale. You know, what can we take from Oliver Stone? And you've got your your understandings of Hollywood and movies and things like that, and it plays a role in your, you know, it's played a certain role in your development there. Who is Oliver Stone, and is he part of the bloodline? Who the fuck is this guy?
He's an entertainer. That's, you know, if you were to put these guys into a select category, you'd say they are the Society of the Secret. They keep their own secrets. They create their own secrets. Of course, there are no secrets in reality, in nature. Everything is revealed, as they say. And so all these secret societies and keepers of the secret, which are these societies, if you will, they create secrets out of events like these and keep those secrets going for as long as they can, because it's the secret that, of course, gives them power. And so Oliver Stone and all these guys, they're just men. You know me, man, I'm always out to kill anybody's hero. Stop hero worshiping anybody. Oliver Stone, oh, he's such a good... No, he's not. He's just a funded guy. They're a dime a dozen. Right. It's just that these guys happen to be the selected ones or the related ones that are chosen to do these types of films. I find the most... So, entertainment, one of those words I came across, actually someone else turned me on to it. You know, I said, look it up. You know, it's three words, entertainment. We know that government is the control or steering of the mind, the mentis, the gubernator mentis. Well, it's entertainment. Well, it has to do with the mind, obviously, mentis. To enter is the same in the Latin, enter, to enter. Well, what's tain? Tain is tenio, which comes from the word hold. So to enter and hold the mind is what entertainment is, right? That's what these guys are specialists at, is to enter your mind. And the best way to enter your mind is through that hypnotic flashing and sound, especially. Sound is almost more important than the picture. If you watch a movie without sound, a good director, good producer knows that sound is equally as important as video. You know, you watch a picture without sound, it's almost worthless. But the point is, these guys are literally entering into your mind, putting out little bits and pieces of what they want you to perceive, the little secretive, what actually happened. I mean, let's talk about Snowden's life for real.
Yeah.
Snowden's life wouldn't be very much different from my own, which is a fucking boring stint in a basement researching and uncovering all this bullshit. That's about the life of Edward Snowden. That's about the life of anybody who does research. All right? So that would be the true story. Nobody would go see that movie. But you put Oliver Stone or someone else on it, and it becomes this monster of an entertainment and a creator of new secrets, and now people are going to be talking about it, and Snowden is now somehow bigger than life. I mean, if Oliver Stone made a movie about me, that's a joke. He wouldn't be true about me either. He'd make my entire life one big lie. And that's all you're seeing in these movies. You've got 9/11 movies. You've got Sully, the pilot movie. They're making history. They're taking real history. They're altering it to their best interests, and they're representing it to you as entertainment. And you're taking the entertainment over the reality. That's all these movies are. They're simulacrum. They're copies without an original. Has nothing to do with the actual history. Like I said, you want my history? I get up, I get coffee, I take a couple shits, I piss all day, I eat, I research, I pet my kitties, and eventually I go to sleep. That is the true history of most of our lives. But we like to lie to people, and we like to always focus on the events. What was the event of the day? What happened that was so incredible about that? No, nothing incredible happened. Yes, the guy has a story, it's an interesting story, but nothing deserving of this kind of attention. You know what I mean?
Right. And I don't know that I even really truly believed it from the very beginning. I know that, and I've been really kind of stressing the point that, you know, he can go into a facility like that and get, you know, this microchip. They're very small. You've seen them. They're, you know, like smaller than a dime, thinner than a dime or a penny. Get it in there, be able to copy all that information to that drive, and then take it out. He throws the Rubik's Cube to the guy, the security guy. It doesn't even go through the X-ray machine. And then on the other side, he gets it back. And I'm sitting there and I'm thinking to myself, and I know a little bit about how, you know, computers operate. I know that when computers are part of a network, that you can set group policies to deactivate the ability of a system to be able to, you know, copy anything from the system to a thumb drive. So how he was able to do that?
Well, you believe that he is a genuine article, that he is that he's one of us. Wasn't that the theme that he's? I mean, I didn't see the movie, but was the theme basically that he's one of us, that he wants to expose, even though there's probably no exposure of anything that we talk about, right? He wants to expose government. Really, what was exposed in the movie? What is Edward Snowden actually exposed? What have been the consequences? Absolutely fucking nothing.
Yeah.
As usual.
Yeah.
As usual, nothing. Because they're not exposing anything. They're still keeping their secrets.
That's true. I mean, the only thing is, and then people, what we're going to derive from it is you know, is he a hero or is he, or is he a criminal? And obviously, the people, you know, in government think that he's a criminal because he is exposing, you know, whatever. Then, of course, you heard Bernie Sanders say that, you know, he said positive things about Snowden, knowing that the base that he speaks to, the base of commoners that he speaks to, is going to think that Snowden is a hero and that, you know, big bad government and all that's all, you know, is bad. But at the same time, that's the group of people that clamor for more government. And then they call Snowden a hero when he exposes how out of control the government has gotten. So it's something that I wanted to see. It's something that I wanted to just kind of experience. Christ, it didn't even cost me $6 because of the time that I went to it. So thankfully, it only cost me about $5.50. You know, like this, what do they call that? The super matinee. And so I just kind of wanted to see what they were going to do and how they were going to do it. You know, well, it was real, and it like you said, it really exposed that you know, the things that not only are they using the military industrial complex to do all these things, and they're turning it on the American people. Well, what's worse, they've been attacking us and poisoning us and destroying what we are for fucking ever.
You gotta understand too that movies are very much a way of public disclosure of things. There's this concept in Kabbalah thinking that if you tell somebody what you're going to do to them, if you expose to people that are under you and subject to you, that you're going to spray them and, you know, test chemical weapons on them, which is, you know, every U.S. citizen is actually subject to chemical weapons testing without limitation. It's actually in my documentary. It's U.S. code. You got to understand that these types of disclosures, if you will, it's the perfect, it's a perfect way of government actually coming out and saying, hey, this is how we're fucking you. Up the yin yang, and you're not going to do anything about it because you're entertained by the information. It's not upsetting you. You're entertained by it, or you think it's so overwhelming. You think that the combinations up here are so overwhelming that you can't do anything about it. So you know, at least we're giving you something to talk about. And that's really all this is information. Information is worthless. Information is pointless. It's to the real man. To someone who's trying to just live that, information is worthless. That's why it's so valuable. You know, that these people, the only way they can make money on things is to ascribe unreasonable and completely ridiculous valuations to things, and then cash in on those things. And so, information, of course, is very valuable in the information age, but it also doesn't actually exist anywhere in nature. It's nothing that has any true and actual value. That's the important part. So, man, what's really happening, and I, you know, we've heard the concepts of controlled opposition, and we, you know, the Hegelian dialectic, the thesis, antithesis, you know, and then finally the solution. And we always presented with movies and things like these. We're always presented with the reaction. You know, the problem is always the creator of whatever it is, right? The reaction concept is basically what we're thrust into, and therefore, since we always ignore the problem, we're always in the reactive mode. We never solve the problem, but our you know, problem reaction solution. Our solution is never the actual definition of solution. We have remedy instead. We'll get a little money here or some other, you know, reparations here or something. You know, any way to pay for the crime. And then, as far as they're concerned, they've washed their hands of it. They've either told us they're going to commit a crime against us, through entertainment or news or some other type of WikiLeaks, whatever, all these bullshit outlets, right? And therefore, their conscience in karmically is clean, or they get caught red-handed doing something they shouldn't have done, and they repair it through monetary valuation of that crime, a valuation that does not and cannot exist in nature. But if you can make people accept something artificial, something monetary, something in mammon, for, you know, for the crimes committed against them, great. Then the crime has been satiated. Everybody's apparently happy, even though nobody actually is. And so what we're dealing with is the controlled opposition, the control of the opposition, the absolute control of every facet of information that gets out there, with the exception of little broadcasts like these, right? So you're controlling the alternative personalities, in other words, that get through to the mainstream media, to the point where they are now mainstream, even though they appear to be alternative, whatever that means anymore. Again, simulacra. And so you've got combinations, right? Lots of religions, of course, warn about the combinations of things, the commixture, the union of bodies or qualities in a mass or compound or government, the assemblage, like Congress, for instance, is certainly a combination. Another word for combination is confederacy or conspiracy. All right, so we don't realize that we're in the midst of a confederacy, a combination of men designed to do us harm, which is a conspiracy or confederation. We don't realize this. We don't realize we're always looking for conspiracies, but we never, you know, one thing Oliver Stone never will tell you is that the whole damn thing is a conspiracy, that he's part of the conspiracy. The conspiracy is fucking government. That is the conspiracy. That is the combination. That is the confederation, for God's sake, according to the Articles of Confederation. You got to understand, those words mean the same exact thing. Combination is an intimate union, an association of two or more persons or things. A conspiracy is an association or a plan between two or more persons to do harm or to injure, to bring someone else into law, in other words, right? For affecting some object, some point, some eventual goal by joint operation. These words are all the same thing. And this is what movies like Oliver Stone creates are never going to actually point to. That the whole damn thing, the reason you can't ever point out a conspiracy is because conspirators cannot conspire. They're already in the midst of it. That's what the Constitution was a conspirator document. They were conspirators in that combination, in that confederation. Look it up, man. They're the same words, for God's sake.
Yeah.
So you've got, yeah, so you've got, right now, you've got, what we do is we're trained to be in a mode of abstraction. And this is a very difficult concept to grasp, but once you grasp it, then, okay, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Abstraction is the act of separating something in the mind. Now, it doesn't mean that the things are actually separate. So it's the concept of something that makes up a whole. You take a part of that whole, and you say, well, that part is different than the whole because it's just the part. It doesn't actually look like the rest of the whole. Donald Trump, Hillary Clinton. These are parts of a whole, a bloodline, a family that has been ruling over us for 4,000 years, but we abstract. In our minds, we say, oh, well, they're different because controlled opposition, because the conspiracy abounds in every fucking corner of this thing, right? So you're looking, I'm going to vote for this part. Well, I'm going to vote for that part. Hey, they're the same parts of the same whole. They're different parts of the same whole, excuse me. So we're literally caught up in the abstract, and that's what these movies are for. They're there to give you these abstract concepts. They're there to pick out, what are some of the other movies you did? JFK, Oliver Stone, right? 4th of July, Born on the 4th of July. All these different abstract concepts of the same thing, but never revealing the whole, because the whole is the Society of the Secret. And if you uncover that all of this shit comes from that whole, that one extremely powerful and wealthy group. Why are they wealthy? Well, they're the creators of the money. Remember, the nations are the creators of money. They own all the money. You get to use it. That's all you get. They can take it back anytime. They can make it valueless anytime.
Right.
So you're in the middle of an abstraction. You're separating your mind from reality. You're saying, okay, I'm going to put an abstraction on Donald Trump, that Donald Trump is somehow a rogue. He's one of us. Snowden, he's one of us. WikiLeaks, oh, they're one of us. No, they're not one of us. They're an abstraction. They are a piece of the whole, controlled opposition. That's what any of these things are.
And what does Snowden say? What's one of Snowden's comments? Snowden says disclosures bolstered individual privacy. So right there, he's not only justifying what he did, but as a whole, or as a, you know, he is basically, people are looking at that and they're saying, hey, he helped us all individually, okay, with our privacy. But what's the story over here on Blacklisted News? What does it say? The police departments are becoming mini NSAS, meaning that they're, see, the problem hasn't been solved. It continues to go on. They disclosed it through Snowden, and all he has to do is say, the disclosures bolstered individual privacy, so then it's...
But see, that's the thing. An individual, okay, is defined as a legal person, an entity of government. It's a public person. Privacy is the opposite, the complete and 100% opposite of what a U.S. citizen is. There's no such thing as privacy in a public office, in a public position of employment under government. That's what U.S. citizens are. Our entire structure of being as persons, artificial constructs of the matrix, there is no privacy there. There's no such thing. When you say the word privacy in a public office, it means absolutely nothing. It means that, yes, there are things that a public person does that are private. What I do in my home, for instance, is not necessarily going to be broadcast. Nobody knows that much about me, right? Nobody knows that much about you. I know you play a lot of guitar. You know I do a lot of research and writing and making movies. That's about all people know about us. What else do we do in privacy? Well, guess what? Whatever I'm doing in private will be made public if the owners of the public, the government, requires it, because I'm always operating in a public commercial capacity. That's my entire existence in this artificial construct called Clint Richardson. I don't have privacy. When you put privacy onto a public figure, that becomes a completely different word, right? But a private citizen or a private man, that's a completely different thing. There is no publicity. So for him to say, well, I'm helping you with your privacy, excuse me, but public persons do, the only privacy a public person has is what government allows its property to have. That's it. Nothing else. Whatever Snowden does, whatever WikiLeaks does, guess what? The law isn't changing. In fact, it'd probably make the law worse, because they're going to have to cover their butts, and maybe that's the goal. Maybe that's the goal of the disclosure, is to actually, you know, create a completely public sphere as opposed to this concept of privacy. You just can't, I'm sorry, but you just can't call a public citizen as private. A public citizen can have no private property. When we call something private property, we're referring to our homes, which are not in any way private property of ourselves. They're the private property of someone else, and we're basically carpetbagging on that property, paying a mortgage, a dead pledge that we'll pay a certain amount of money to live there as tenants of that property, but it's not our private property. We're public citizens. We're public. We're artificial beings in our nature, in our commercial operation. There is no privacy. See, this is the illusion, this is the delusion that they want to get across to you, that you even have privacy in the first place. You do not. Whatever you do on the internet, you have no privacy. Whatever you do on the internet, every porn site you click, everything you do is not private. And you know what? All those little guided ads that come up on your computer that know somehow where you live, what city you're in, what things interest you, that's proof right there that you have no freaking privacy. It's all a lie. But if you create a Hollywood movie and you create memes like the one you just suggested, well, I'm risking my life as a government agent. I'm risking my life to help you in your private affairs. Don't fall for it. We have no privacy. It's a lie. Just like if if I'm plugged into the Matrix, man, do I have privacy?
Not at all.
No. I have no privacy because I'm in someone else's system. I'm in someone else's structure of artificial existence. I have no privacy. I'm renting the property of another. I'm plugged in by the permission of he who provides me the plugs. End of story.
So it just kind of reinforces the fiction by him saying, our individual privacy has been bolstered as a result of what I did. But basically saying, basically just reinforcing the fiction that, when he says, when he said Constitution in any part of it, I was just like, yeah.
Well,
the before, when someone said Constitution, I was like, all right, yeah, the Constitution, that has bearing. But now, knowing what I know now, it absolutely doesn't hold any bearing whatsoever. So I knew going into it that it was just, I just wanted to experience what Oliver Stone, how he was going to lay it out there. And, as far as movies go, it wasn't, it wasn't bad, but it is, it's fictional, and
so,
I guess to my point, my what I'm trying to understand here, and it really doesn't even matter, is that did he do this on his own, believing this, or is he part of a psyop, knowing that, or like setting the system up so knowing someone was actually going to do this, and then he was the one that took the bait, or is he just the guy who is out there pretending to be, this guy who's one of us, and knowing, full knowing that it was just, it's all bullshit. Could be all three.
That's the thing. I mean, no matter how you look at it, first of all, it's all bullshit, right? We know that all this legal stuff is a lie. So you cannot have an argument over all this information, as they call it, without first acknowledging that it's all basically a lie. Right, it's information, it's words, it's numbers, it's not real, man. That's the most important. That's the most important disposition to have before you look at any of this. Okay, first of all, what are we dealing with? We're dealing with history, and we're dealing with words that are created. Those things are never ever correct. History, I don't care who makes history, who records it. It is not reality. You weren't there. You have no idea what actually happened. You don't know the players. You talk about them, like you knew them. You talk about them in autobiographical form, like you were right there next to them or something, right? I mean, people swear to me that King James was a big gay blind, right? People swear that they know things about characters in history. People swear that they know that Jesus Christ walked this earth. People swear that they know that other people walked the earth, that proves that Jesus Christ didn't walk on the earth. Right? There's all kinds of people who rely on absolutely 100% false history, because all history is false. And once you get to that conclusion, once you understand that, not just as a statement, not just as, oh, well, that's, you know, that's arbitrary, that's nihilism, that's... No! There is no history that is accurate. I'm sorry. Like I said, you put a freaking camera on a mountainside for 1,000 years, and then you go back and you watch, you know, can you watch that camera? Can you watch 1,000 years worth of history on a mountainside where nothing actually ever happens except maybe a few deer come across, right? That's history. That's the reality of nature. Now, all this other shit, again, that's coming across to us, that's all creations of men. Those are all stories. History is a story. It's his story, the story of the victor. That's it, man. Nothing else. And by the way, the concept of individual, all right, you got to understand what that word means. In is not. Like, independence means not dependent. Well, individual means not divided. Not divided. It doesn't mean anything but that, okay? So when you're talking about...
It kind of negates itself in and of itself, right?
Well, it's like the word natural or the word single or the word... It's a word to define a part of the whole as an abstract. In other words, if I'm considered as an individual person of the United States... That means I'm one of the body politic. I'm one of the multitude. It means that I'm not divided from the whole. In other words, it means that my vote means absolutely shit. All right? Because there's only one vote, that's the vote of the whole. All right? It does refer to a single person or human being, but not to a man. An individual is not a man. We can use it in the common language as such, but in the legal language, when you're known as an individual, you're known as something that is single but not divided, a part of the whole. Alright? It's how you distinguish apart from the whole. But it does not mean that you have privacy. It means you're part of the public. You're not divided. You're not private from the whole. You're public, right? You have to get these words on a deeper level, on a more figurative, metaphoric level to understand what they mean. Now, that the second you hear the word individual, you think, oh, I'm individual. Well, that means you're not divided. Get that through your head. That means when you're saying that, you're saying the opposite of what you think you're saying.
Right.
That's the legal trickery.
So if someone said I'm individual, that would be...
Well, think about it. Think about it.
What understand is, it without the...
What is a private individual? It doesn't exist. You can't be private and also not divided.
Right. Because, I mean, you know...
Because if you're private, you're divided. You're separate. You're away from the whole. It's really hard to grasp these things, but once you do, then all this bullshit that comes out about privacy, and it's all you see it for what it is.
Yeah, this is an interesting story here. Police departments in two states cancel use of body cameras, citing video storage costs. it costs too much to store the video, so we can't have it anymore. It's just that is so funny.
Well, you know, have comfort that that'll never happen with CCTV. You always have Big Brother watching you,
right? And who's paying for that, right? Who's paying for all the CCTV cuts?
Exactly, because they're not paying for it. We are.
And then they'll be like, well, you know, in order to
you know, keep the video, the storage of the video, we're going to have to raise taxes. So are you for raising taxes? And then, of course, there'll be the people saying, oh, yeah, we got to be safe. We got to make sure that that we're safe from the terrorists. So, yeah, I'll pay more taxes for that. We've been, yeah, I mean, it's just all so ridiculous. It's so obvious. I mean, you've broken things down with words and so in a masterful way. And that is obviously not as obvious as just looking at society and saying, my God, we are so fucking lost as a society. We are so, lemmings, just absolute lemmings, most of society anyway. Now, my son wants to have he wants to do a podcast with me about vaccine-related information. He wants me, because he totally believes in the system. And then I said to him, I said, I'm going to have to get my team together, news team assemble, right? And then I'm just even thinking at this point, it's like, I knew like right away, I said, all right, well, I'm going to get Clint. I'm going to get Patrick. And that's going to be my counsel. And then I just thought to myself, this guy I work with, he's a good guy. He's been misled, And for me to sit there and then I just thought to myself, would it be worth it to even do that? Because why would I mean, you know what it's like. I know what it's like to have gone through the transformation of understanding that this world is not what we've been told that it is. It's very concerning. You go through that process of like someone told you that you were adopted. I mean, is that kind of a correct description of it? When you realize that, man, this is just all bullshit, we've been lied to, and it's worse than just being lied to.
Well, did you ever see the movie about the clones that live in the place? What was it called? They're clones that are created for medical replacements, basically. Right.
Scarlett Johansson and the guy
from
Star Wars.
That's, that's a good example of what it feels like. The Island is what that was called, which was based on a book. Right. But that's a good example, I think, of the sort of feeling that you get, I think, when you start seeing things for what they really are. Is because even the cleanliness and the sort of institutionalized aspect of the island, of the facility that keeps them in the dark about everything, disappears, and you're all of a sudden in the middle of nature in the desert where everything is absolutely unclean and uninstitutional, right?
Yep.
That's the same thing, waking up from the Matrix into that shitty underground place where no sun ever shines, that kind of thing. I don't know. Sometimes you think, wow, do you really want to bring people out?
I know. That's what I'm saying. It's like, I work with this guy, and we talk about this stuff all the time. It's gotten to the point where it's a joke. Like, they know that I'm the conspiracy guy, and that I say things and I bring things to light that most people just don't care about or run through the gamut of the reactions that people have to something that's being said to them that is completely abstract from what they've been brainwashed to understand. And so I just said to myself, I'm like. And one thing I said, before we even do this, I said, you're going to have to watch Lethal Injection. You're going to have to watch Lethal Injection. This, I said, a documentary that was created by someone that really, really, truly research and cares enough to do so. And so, I think he was kind of walking away at the time. But then I just thought to myself, is it even worth it? And like Patrick said, over the last couple of weeks, at one point he said there are people out there that are so toxic that you have to be able to understand it. You have to be able to recognize this toxicity, because these people can go from, you know, that to the point where you can be and connect with them and work with them and do things. But past that point, if you cross a line of their with their cognitive dissonance, they will become some of the most toxic people in the world to you.
They turn into agents, man.
Right, exactly. They turn into the agents right before your eyes.
Yeah.
And so then I just thought to myself, now, I mean, if we do a podcast, it'll probably be on, you know, on some of this surveillance stuff and things like that, if it at all even happens. But I don't even know if I want to breach that, I don't know if I want to breach that that area there, because it's, and what do I get out of it? What would I personally get out of it? Being right? I mean, I know what's happening.
Well, so
why would I want to bring it? And I even said to him, I said, you know what? I don't even know if it's worth it. I said, because at this point, I even said to him, I said, I like you too much. I like working with you too much to bring you into the nightmare that I know. And there you go. And it's not even, it wouldn't even be satisfying to me. I would be like.
So that brings up the sort of notion, that feeling you're describing, you know, because it's one thing to be able to say, oh, look, here's something, and then someone asks you a question that you can't answer, right? And that's the experience most people have. I've gotten to the point now where almost every question I can answer, because I've connected all the dots, right, at this point. I'm not happy about it, trust me. It's not a great place to be.
No way.
Because then now you're trying to explain one thing, and you realize you got to explain 20 other things in order to get the one thing that, you know, to have there be no questions, right? It's not a great place to be, trust me.
You're going to be able to explain that because of the, you know, you're going to get through one or two things, and then you're not even going to be able to get to those other ones because of the disconnect that you're going to see, the slide that person's going to go through. It's just you're never gonna accomplish it, or
right. Well, so that feeling that you just explained of, you know, I like you, I don't want to bring you into this madness of reality, lets you stay in your little fiction. You gotta sometimes wonder if that's how these elitists perhaps maybe feel, or maybe their forefathers felt, that they have some grand, you know, destiny to keep us all in the dark and quote unquote happy, according to their perception of what happiness is, happy slaves. Instead of
really know what the ultimate outcome is.
The point though is that how these guys are they psychopathic enough to feel that the way that they've this system that they've created was actually for our benefit. And sometimes I look at it and I say, well, maybe it is, because if we were left to our own devices, we'd have been dead long ago. You know, so, I mean, there is some aspect to this to say, well, you know, and it does, you know, the more I look into this whole system, the more it does appear to be almost like a test. Like even Samuel Johnson, the first dictionary created in America, he said that citizenship is like a test for you to go through to see if you're able to govern yourself, right? If you're able to learn and become rational and become civilized, as they say, well then you'll be able to govern yourself. Everybody else is going to be stuck in this system, you know, without ever attaining any type of freedom from it, because they're not responsible enough. And so you gotta look at the perspective of these people and almost empathize with their evil and say, well, maybe they really do think they're doing us a favor by creating such a fucked up system. You know, what did they say in the Matrix? The first Matrix I created, said the architect, was perfect. And it turned into chaos because people can't handle perfection, can't handle utopia. utopia is like hell for man. And so we created the five different matrixes trying to perfect. And what are we left with? Well, we're left with this one, an organized chaos with disease and immorality and amorality. And, you know, maybe that's what we fucking need. You know, so at some point you start reversing your thought and saying, well, what the hell? What would this society be without? With all these people, with the food shortage, with the oil shortage, can you imagine what society would be like without this horrific system? You know, that's the point where you start going, oh, boy, you know, even my own moral standards are being tainted, you know?
Right, yeah. It's, you know, and I think, I don't know, I think I might have, at one point, when we first started talking, I said, you know, what would our world be without this deception? What would it be without, you know, this?
How could you live without all of the lies that you tell yourself every day? All the lies that are promoted to you every day on the TV and through entertainment. How could you possibly live if every lie was suddenly stripped from you, including these people you're talking about at work? If those lies were taken away, if the production system, if the commercial system was taken away, if the legal law was taken away, all these lies were taken away, these people who are so comfortable in their own ignorance and arrogance of it would be absolutely lost. It would be like The Purge, you know, that movie The Purge.
Yeah, the three or four of them now, right?
I'm telling you, these people in their confidence, it's a confidence game. Everybody's so confident about the lie they live and the lies they tell themselves and the defense of those lies. When someone like you or me comes along and says, hey, you're living a lie, you know, the defense mechanism to support the lie, because they instinctively, I think we know that without the lie, we'd have to face reality, and that would just be absolutely horrifically wonderful. But the transition from the lie to the reality, to the lie to nature, back to nature again, in respect of it, would be a very painful experience for most people.
Yeah, I truly think that people, if they really understood what we were doing, you know, like when you sent the sand documentary, I watched the Loom. I watched that that short film Loom that you sent over. If people really knew what was at stake, that they would have a different. I think they would totally have a different perspective. But at this point, when they're being lied to people about a climate, you know, nightmare that they're actually creating, the same people that are saying we've got to cut our carbon footprint are the same people that are doing absolute acts of complete criminality on nature itself, to the oceans, to the beaches, to geoengineering, to just the slaughtering of animals. I mean, just the slaughtering of animals for our food.
Slaughter is the opposite of sacrifice. And that's, I think, a really important lesson I learned was I never understood the concept of sacrifice. Sacrifice is an acknowledgement that this cow in front of me is a part of God's nature, God's creation, equal to me, something I'm supposed to protect. But in order to continue living and thriving and subsisting, I must ingest this part of nature, whether it's an apple or a cow or a pig or whatever. And it's an acknowledged ritualistic almost killing of that beast with empathy towards its feelings, how it's treated, right? And then you have slaughter, which is take away the moral fabric, take away the conscious awareness of where my food is coming from, how I'm getting that food onto my plate. That's slaughter. At this point, we're so heavily into the slaughter that we're about to be slaughtered ourselves.
That's right.
Because the people running this country have no concept of sacrifice.
That's right. I truly believe that that as they manufacture more consent for every action, every satanic, totally destructive action, that they manufacture consent, the outcome is obviously not going to be very favorable to us. And you know that we will be judged, and not in a, you know, not in a I guess a biblical way, if you will. But I think that at some point we all will be judged for what we've allowed them to do.
Well, be clear, it is biblical. There's nowhere in the Bible that says some cloaked figure, you know, in on a cloud is going to come down and do something. It doesn't say that in the Bible. What the Bible basically tells us is that we're going to suffer from our own actions. That is judgment. The judgment is a word that, again, means something very different from what the church tells you, that some God is going to come down. No, we're part of nature. We're part of God. We are purposefully and with quite forefront knowledge, defiling our very nature, our best interest. We're defiling that which supports us. We're losing oxygen at an alarming rate. We're doing all these things that you're talking about, geoengineering and everything else. The judgment in the Bible is the same thing that you're talking about, which is that eventually we're going to kill ourselves, or we're going to cause plagues, or we're going to cause whatever, because we're fucking with the design of nature. It's not some cloak figure that's going to come down, some anthropomorphization, some personification of nature that's going to come down. No, we are going to do it to ourselves. I tell you, that's why I'm so turned on by this Bible, because it's that kind of knowledge that when you take it for what it really is saying, and you understand what it's saying, man, you see it. You see that everything that it says is actually coming true at this point. Not because God is doing anything, but because we are doing it for ourselves.
True. Yes. They manufacture consent. They tell us that, you know, we should do this. They use fear and fear tactics for disease to make us do things that that we shouldn't.
You know, if you think about that, the Bible being the basis of the common law, the very foundation and structure of law, if we choose to ignore it, then we deserve our fate, right? If we choose to allow this governmental structure and its regulated and stock-owned corporations, if we allow these corporations, these artificial persons, to go in, use us as their employees, devastate the earth, devastate the air quality, devastate the water on purpose, putting fluoride and shit in it, right? If we allow that to happen as the guardians of nature, the true, you know, guardians of what is the laws of nature, then we deserve what we get. I have no sympathy for anybody at this point, because we are going to get exactly what we deserve. We shouldn't be complaining about it. We should actually be sort of welcoming it. As Patrick says, he's like waiting for the comets to come down and destroy this overgrown frickin' petri dish we call the population. I'm right there with him. We are not paying attention to the very foundation of the scriptural law, the moral law, the law of nature. Right. And therefore nature, or God, is going to come back with a vengeance, wipe us off like a bunch of fucking annoying fleas off a dog. That makes perfect sense to me. That's not religion, that's just common sense.
Right. I was just the other day, well, actually I was sitting there, getting ready to see the movie, and I saw some of the trailers, and one of them was Inferno, and it was... it's Tom Hanks, it's the whole Tom Brown, I guess this is a book that Brown wrote, that's kind of, you know, Langdon, where Hanks plays this Langdon guy, professor or whatever the fuck he is, and he says somewhere in the trailer, it says Dante's Inferno wasn't this, it wasn't this, it was a warning.
Yeah. Well, and Truman, if you've ever read Dante's Inferno, you know, hell is described as basically whichever category we fall into. You know, you have your hell for lawyers and represented politicians. You have a hell for adulterers. You have a hell for this. You know, each level of hell is designed for whichever category we fall into, right? Even those who are voluntarily ignorant, you know, have their place in hell. So yeah, I mean, I would say that Dante's Inferno was not so much an afterlife as it was a reflection of real life.
Right,
we've made our own hell.
Yeah, and I think that's it kind of circles around this plague that he and this woman have to travel. You know, they have to stop this plague that has been engineered, and they even say in there it's just like it was engineered by government or something like that. So it's like there's the disclosure right there. So
have you seen any videos on Flocka?
Flocka, isn't that the drug or no?
Flocka is FLAKKA. And they're calling it the most scary drug. It's a bath salt, basically. You know, people smoke it, but its reaction for some people, it turns them into exactly what you'd expect to see someone with rabies, like a zombie. You know, the kind of zombies that were in 28 Days Later, or you know, the ones that can run they can run through glass, and they have the strength of five men.
I'm hoping for the real slow, docile ones.
Yeah, you got to check out Flocka, FLAKKA, man. It's some scary freaking shit.
Wow. The new crack.
Well, it's cheap and it's, but I mean, what it does to people, I mean, these are the people that are eating people's flesh, basically, you know, eating people's face off.
Yeah, we did. There were a number of stories out, within the last 3 years about that. Yeah.
Well, this is the new one, and it's very scary.
And what is it? I think it was on the Sludge Report. The guy, naked man, breaks in home, bites resident, and dies.
What freaks me out about that is the notion of time-released delivery, you know? All these people getting vaccinated on a constant basis, getting all these drugs and injectables and taking, you know, even in the food. And I'm thinking, man, just all you'd have to do is just have a time release. And everybody show the symptoms at the same time, and it would appear to be something, you know, like an outbreak, right? Like a disease. I'm freaked out by medical advances, I got to tell you.
Oh, there's no doubt, man. I share the that feeling with you, indeed. All right, so Cole Real, we got a little over a minute.
I say one last thing.
Sure,
Snowden. Sure. It seems like all these people, their names always have something to do with what they're doing. We're being snowed.
Snow job, right?
Right, and every single time you find that the name seems to have some correlation with we're fucking you again, you know, we're fooling you again.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, I see people out there, you know, the people that cheered for him when he was, when he broadcasted to, you know, when he started doing these, like, little broadcasts to back here and, you know, people were like, yay, you know, but then, as I said, the same people that are cheering for him are the same people that don't mind when government just fucking gets completely out of control, gets way beyond.
No, man, it's just disclosure. You're being disclosed. They call it whistleblowing, but all it really is that they're telling you their plans, and if you don't do anything about it, then they're...
Thanks, everybody.
20 rounds a minute trying to stop them. Don't put that on your wish list. That's retarded babble. Protesters make you Hitler as soon as they start to rabble. They are nothing but fishes in the barrel. It doesn't have to be Christmas for a carol. Some decorate with ornamental decorum. Some perform shock and awe on Hanukkah and Purim. That's where my job come in. I am a blessing to the mercenary for the corporation selling weapons to them. Any potential competitor step into them. I'm off the